You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried begging you for money. Give me money to make more.
Cut, take two.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried saying to you, give me money. I want money. Just give me money to make more Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast. It costs money, believe it or not. You're over there saying, but it's so cheap and amateurish. I know that, but it still takes money. So it's patreon.com/Gilbert Gottfried. Patreon.com/Gilbert Gottfried. And there are rewards in it. I can't even say reward.
Rolling.
And there are...
Cut.
And, you know, like signed posters. And I'll... Some of you, if it's enough money, I'll roast you. And there's so much. But it's patreon.com/Gilbert Gottfried. Give me money! This is Gilbert Gottfried.
Wow.
And I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, once again at Nutmeg with our engineer, Frank Verderosa. And this is Gilbert and Frank's amazing, colossal obsessions.
Oh, that was nicely done. Oh, you sounded nefarious.
There was a sweetness to that.
No, yeah. No, I'm totally straight.
What were you doing there? Do it like Tony Curtis.
I This is Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions.
Great. Go ahead.
Tony and Jamie Lee, I heard, just like hated each other.
Yeah. I don't think there was a lot of love lost.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. By his own admission in his book.
Oh, he said he wasn't a good father.
He was a bad dad. Yeah.
And I think he said something in an interview. He goes, I did the best that I could. If she's not happy, I wish her only the best. If she's not happy with that, let her get a new father.
Oh, painful. Bernie Schwartz. I went to see him. At the 92nd Street Y toward the end of his life, he had a book out about Some Like It Hot. And I went to see him, and he had the cowboy hat.
Oh, yes.
And the boots.
And the very convincing
spurs,
toupee.
The whole thing, the whole nine yards. And the entire hour and a half, he talked about trying to bang Marilyn Monroe. These blue-haired old ladies at the 92nd Street Y. I swear to you, they even took questions from the audience. Some people are asking questions about Houdini and trapeze, and he's taking it back to Maryland. I tried to get her, and I couldn't get her. I tell you, horn dog to the end. God bless the man.
I saw an interview that when they were doing Some Like It Hot, there were also like loads of hot-looking chorus girls around. And Jack Lemmon was trying to hit on them, and it wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And Tony Curtis gave him the advice. He goes, you should center on one and pay her 100% of your attention. and Jack Lemmon said, so that works for you? And he goes, are you kidding? I already fucked eight of them.
including Yvonne DiCarlo.
Oh, yes.
That story. Not that she was there. I think we did with Robert Wool. I think we got to the Yvonne DiCarlo story.
Yeah, that's because they went to acting school
Walter
together.
Matthau. That's a great one.
And I think Sidney Poitier was
in class. I saw him tell that story on the Tom Snyder Show when I was a kid, and I just ate it up.
It's like Walter Matthau was still a struggling actor in beat-up, torn-up clothes and worn-out shoes, and Tony Curtis became a worldwide star. And he's in his limo, and he sees a dejected Walter Matthau there. So he rolls down the window and goes, "Hey, Walter, I just fucked Yvonne DiCarlo."
Banged on the car door to get his attention. I think that's the story. It's pretty damn good. So we did, at the request of a listener named Wally Cisniak, and God, I love that name. We did some Bond stuff on the last...
Wally Cisniak, if that is, in fact, your name.
Wally suggested that we do a Bond episode. We did a fun Bond episode with a lot of trivia.
Now, and I'm still asking that question.
What do you want to know?
It was either an Armand Flint or most likely Matt Helm.
Okay.
Where a girl, a pretty blonde actress... falls over backwards and shows her white panties.
How the hell is he going to research that?
White panties.
Matt Helm.
And at the same time as that movie came out, they did the exact identical jerk-off gag in an Elvis Presley movie.
Wow. Ball, if you find that, you are the researcher of the century.
I want to raise if I can.
Yeah, we're not paying you enough.
Oh, yeah, we'll pay you double what you're getting now.
And you'll get a bonus. Bring your dog around and he'll give him a bonus too.
And that scene in the movie was giving me a bonus. Thank you.
So we're decided to do, and you've gotten ahead of me, you brought up Matt Helm.
Yes.
We decided this time to talk about Bond parodies and Bond spoofs and Bond, what would you call them, homages, if you're being...
Way before Austin Powers.
Yeah, there were a ton. Yeah.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's amazing colossal podcast, but first, a word from our sponsor.
And now back to the show. Well, let me see how many of these you guys know. Do you know something, and this is with the help of our pals at Wikipedia, these are actually chronological. Did you know a movie called Agent 8 3/4, a British spy comedy with Dirk Bogarde? You know that actor.
Oh, yes.
Anything, Paul?
I'm still on white panties.
Oh, you're not going to find it. I'm on the white panties.
I've got something.
What do you got?
I think I have something.
Wait!
From the book on which the movie was made, I have a little from Google Books here. It says, come on. He says, let's see, check. We can come on down. We'll slip those panties down. Anyway, I don't know. It looks like it has literary origins of
Please
something.
Read the rest of it.
Slip those panties down. He placed his hand low on her back to urge something. It's
you sure this is Matt Helm?
Just excuse me. I'll be back in a minute.
Well, Gilbert had to step out of the booth.
Using both hands, he dragged down her hips. It goes off the screen at that point.
Oh,
you'll have to imagine.
This is not Mickey Spillane. You sure this is Matt Helm?
I'm not quite sure what the hell this is.
Okay.
But it's not bad.
Yeah. That's not bad at all.
Was she screwing a light bulb in at the time?
Oh, someone sent
me a
tweet of one naked girl and one girl in a halter top with her breasts sagging out of them. And they're both putting in light bulbs.
That does it for you, huh?
Who knew this was a complete fetish?
Our fans are that dedicated.
I can confirm that this is from a Matt Helm novel called The Demolishers by Donald Hamilton.
Yeah, they were all based on his novels.
Still, my ideal that if anyone could find this would be a movie where a naked girl stands on one of those revolving cake trays that they have in the Greek coffee shops where it turns around.
How's she going to get inside of a revolving cake stand?
Well, it doesn't have to have the open part. It could just be just the tray that she's standing on.
So this is good for this. Yes. A woman hanging a light, installing a light.
Yes.
What if she's hanging a no pest strip?
Oh, that would be even better.
Okay. It's an old reference.
We've gotten a bit away from
a bit away from Bond.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go through these. These are the Bond knockoffs. Carry On Spying.
There were a group of those.
You know any of these? These are British.
Well, I remember seeing in a theater with my parents. And it was Carry On Teachers.
Yes.
And there was also
the Carry On series.
Yeah, Carry On Monsters.
Right.
They had.
Well, this might have been one of them. Carry On Spying from 1964. There was a lot of Bond stuff in the early 60s when Bond exploded. That Man from Rio, a French adventure spoof of Bond type films. Any of these ring a bell?
Actor George Nader, now, he played James Bond, or a James Bond-like character, in Germany.
Really?
Because James Nader was like becoming a romantic actor. And I think he was having an affair with Rock Hudson.
Really?
Yes.
George Nader.
And the press was after Rock Hudson. And a lot of times the studios would have, you know, they would either bribe them or they would give them another juicy story. So they said to him, look, leave Rock Hudson alone. We'll give you George Nader. He's a romantic actor. He's gay.
So they sacrificed his
Hollywood career was over and right. He went to Germany.
You talked about this in a previous show. And he played a German Bond?
I guess so.
I don't have a German Bond here. I have a Danish one. I have Relax Freddy.
I have a Kugler one.
A Kugler Bond.
I wish all of you listening, I have a joyous Kugler Bond.
Oh, my God. I have Sieg Schleifurst Friede.
I love him.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the girl in that Spanish Dracula?
Lupita Tovar?
Yes.
Different person. Okay, here's one you do know.
Yes.
Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine.
Vincent Price. And our friend
Frankie Avalon. and Dr. Goldfoot and the Girl Bombs.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, here. I just remembered a Vincent Price story. I was watching Merv Griffin, and the two people on the panel were Vincent Price and Jacqueline Bisset.
Okay.
And Jacqueline Bisset at one point, not having anything to do with anything, she said to Vincent Price, she goes, you know, I'm living right now in your old house. And Vincent Price said, well, if I knew you were going to live there, I never would have moved.
What a smoothie. Vincent Price came on to Jacqueline Bisset.
Very believable.
On the Merv Griffin show. Wow.
Because that was the heterosexual strong.
Bad kitty. How about the Intelligence Men with the British comedy duo Morecambe and Wise? Did you know that one?
No.
Not me.
Licensed to Kill, low-budget series from 1965. Okay, and then in 60...
Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
I have an autographed poster.
Yes. Of George Nader?
No, I have a love letter from George Nader.
Did he spray it with something nice? A little high karate.
Alan and Rossi.
Oh, well, that's coming up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last of the Secret Agents, 1966.
Yeah, I saw that poster in the audience.
Nancy Sinatra.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. That was 66 looks like the year because there was Our Man Flint with Coburn. Look that one up.
Yeah, okay.
Paul, because I want to know if those were based. I don't think Derek Flint was based on novels the way Matt Helm was. And by the way, Coburn, to me, always a more convincing spy, you know, than Dino.
Oh, yes.
Who just looked like he was collecting a check. The two Flint pictures, Our Man Flint in 66 and In Like Flint
in
67. And then Last of the Secret Agents in 66, which we've talked about on this show with, I think, Cliff Nesterman you like to call him.
Yeah,
and also, how about this one? An Italian spoof, Kiss the Girls and Make Them Die, with Mike Connors.
I remember the title of it, and I seen a poster for it, but I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
Yeah.
If I did, I was probably like five and it was on TV.
Modesty Blaze in 1966.
Yeah, that one I've seen on TV.
Monica Vitti, The Spy with a Cold Nose. From 1966.
Oh, that was a dog. Yeah.
I love the title. There's some of these Bond pictures. Some of these are in Greek and Italian. I can't even. Here's a real curio. O.K. Connery from 1967.
Wow.
Also known as Operation Kid Brother. I know some of our fans are already perking up their ears at this one. Starring, they got some Bond people to be in it. Bernard Lee, who was M, was in it. Lois Maxwell, who was Moneypenny, was in it, and it starred Neil Connery, Sean Connery's younger brother.
Oh, geez.
And the plot was when M16's top agent becomes available, his lookalike younger brother is hired to thwart an evil organization. Now, what's strange about it is they dubbed his voice.
Oh,
so he didn't even sound like Connery. He didn't even sound like what people knew Bond to sound like at that point.
So I don't have too much on Iron Man Flint, but in Like Flint you mentioned, but did you know that in 1976 there was another Flint movie called Dead on Target?
I didn't know
directed
that.
Directed by Joseph Scanlon.
I did not know that.
I'm sorry, it was not a film, it was a Canadian television pilot starring Ray Danton.
Ray Danton.
Danton.
Well, I got Ray Danton all over this thing.
The George Raft story.
Ray Danton starred in Secret Agent Super Dragon, an Italian spy film in 66.
That sounds like a Ray Danton film.
And also You Only Die Once, known as Si Muoro Solo Una Volta.
Very good, Frank.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Well,
excellent. Excelente.
It's in my blood. Ray Danton is all over this list. How about A Man Called Dagger with Richard Kiel from 1967?
I remember the title vaguely.
Yeah. Jaws, future Bond villain. Yeah. Jaws, been a low budget.
Did Keith Brazell play James
Bond? I sure as hell hope not. How about, here's one you've brought up on the show, Fathom with Raquel Welch.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Raquel Welch. And Tony Franciosa.
Correct. And Tony Franciosa played Matt Helm in the TV series.
That's right. And in Fathom, he keeps going, "Hello, puppet."
Your Tony Franciosa's got a touch of Tony Curtis.
A touch of Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
That was a cologne I used to use. A touch of Tony Curtis.
Come Spy With Me with Troy Donahue.
Ah, okay.
In 67, Caprice. I love this one. An American comedy thriller with Doris Day. Can you wrap your mind around Doris Day in a Bond in a Bond knockoff?
That sounds like a bad mistake.
Yeah. How about The Girl from Rio, also known as Future Woman, starring Shirley Eaton, who was in Goldfinger.
Oh, yeah. I remember also in Fathom, at least there, they were finding excuses for Raquel Welch to be in a bikini.
Right, but she never did nudity.
That
was as close as she got there.
You sounded like you were going to do Red Buttons.
And he never had a dinner.
How about this one? Also,
to Benjamin Franklin, whose wife said, "Go fly a kite." And he
never got a dinner.
To Adam, who said to Eve, "Stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get." And he never had a dinner. To Aladdin, who said, "I know it's not a lamp, but rub it anyway." And he never had a dinner.
A Bond episode and Red Buttons breaks out. How about this one? From Hong Kong with Love, also with Lois Maxwell, Ms. Moneypenny, and Bernard Lee. James Bond dies in the opening. No? This one I love. The Dragon Lives Again, a Hong Kong movie featuring an undead Bruce Lee along such characters as James Bond, Dracula, and Popeye.
Gotta be good.
It's gotta be good. Oh, and then, you know, What's Up, Tiger Lily was another one that was, I think that was a Japanese
Yeah, it was
Bond
already,
knockoff
yes.
that he took and turned into the egg salad
yeah,
recipe.
Woody Allen changed it, and that's the one that has got the loving spoonful.
Correct. Correct.
I've always been the guy with the finger in his nose when the passport picture gets taken, when the big guy tastes out for stealing chickens on the one caught holding the bacon, when they drop a piano from the 42nd floor, I'm always underneath looking up. When a tidal wave strikes 100 miles at sea, I'm out on the rail throwing up. Boom, 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 boom. Wee, kapow. Somehow I would have met you anyhow. You fixed it up and a holy cow. If my friends could see me now.
Wow.
They get scarier and scarier. That was pretty scary.
That was beautiful. I teared up. We got to get John Sebastian on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
We got to chase down John Sebastian. So
just for that song alone.
Yeah, I love him. So here's some TV Bond knockoffs. And Paul, maybe you'd be kind enough to look a couple of these
up. All right, let's see what we got.
A Man Called Flintstone.
Oh, I remember that. I remember when that aired.
Yep.
I'm sure it was as witty as all the other Flintstones.
1966. And Fred is recruited for a spy mission. How about that?
And that's Hanna-Barbera being up to date and current.
Yes. Apparently, there was also a Goldfinger parody on the Flintstones called The Stonefinger Caper.
Mel Blanc played Barney Rubble. Did he always play Barney Rubble?
Yeah, I think he did. Sure. Yeah.
And I heard they said to Mel Blanc, we wanted to sound like Art Carney, because that was, of course, a knockoff of The Honeymooners. And he said, I don't want to imitate Art Carney. I'll do a dumb voice.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to do Art Carney.
Why, I wonder?
Well, yeah. I think he maybe felt like it was stealing from him or something.
Right. Yeah. Or because Dawes Butler was already doing Art Carney doing Yogi Bear.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So here's some other, obviously Get Smart is probably the best known.
I heard that Hanna-Barbera, they had some major feud.
Oh, sure. I knew them both.
Yeah. And they worked in the same building on different
floors. Ventura Boulevard, the old Hanna-Barbera building. Yeah, I worked there for a couple of months on various projects. And when you wanted, I had a poster and I wanted Bill and Joe to sign it. And I had to go back on different days.
Oh, wow.
Because they actually didn't come in on the
same. Woman I knew.
Bad blood.
Yeah. Some woman I knew, she was in L.A. And I remember when they used to have the Dudley Do-Right Emporium.
Yep.
And it was like from the guys. I mean, all the collection of, who was those guys who made that?
Jay Ward.
Jay Ward.
Yeah.
All these Jay Ward cartoons. And she was walking down the street and they were selling. They were like for cheap. They were going to close the store up, and they were selling cells from the original Dudley Do-Right.
Wow!
And Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Wish I'd gotten my hands on them.
And she said, "Oh, wait! Let me go. I left my purse at home. Let me go." And she ran home and got there, and they had closed her.
Oh, damn!
Yeah.
That's a terrible story.
That was horrible.
I sang the Banana Splits theme with Joe Barbera in his office. There you go, huh? How about that for a brush with greatness? I'll tell that story sometime. What about, speaking of cartoons, Secret Squirrel?
Oh, jeez.
You remember Secret Squirrel?
No.
It was a cartoon satirizing the Bond films. I was starting to mention Get Smart. Of course, Get Smart.
Yeah, with the people involved, that Mel Brooks, and
Buck Henry, Mel Brooks, Arnie Sultan, really. Leonard Stern, really
amazing,
great comedy writers.
And you know, it really, my kids have been watching those, and it really sounds like Mel Brooks. I mean, he was already Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
When he was doing those, you know, it's really his style of humor.
And Chaos was their knockoff,
right? Right.
But it really, those, I tell you, when we had Barbara Feldon on the show, it was a treat to introduce a new audience of people to Barbara Feldon.
Yeah,
because we got so many tweets.
And she started off the interview before I even had a chance to talk. I just introduced her, and she just leans into the mic and goes, "Oh, Max."
That was great. So obviously, there was a cartoon series called Danger Mouse. The Man from U.N.C.L.E.'s, obviously.
Yeah.
That's Robert Vaughn just passed away, so that one is timely. Inspector Gadget.
I remember James Caan was on an episode of Get Smart.
I think you're right.
He was a
character called
The Prince.
Yes, he was, early in his career. So was Rickles.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And Johnny Carson was a train conductor.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And I remember the joke I remember from the James Caan episode was he was called The Prince, and someone is telling Maxwell, they go, women find the prince irresistible. And Maxwell goes, and how do men find him? And he goes, he's in the phone book.
Look at this guy remembering jokes from 1966. Yeah. God bless you. And of course, the current Bond spoof, The Wonderful Archer, starring our pal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Morty Finkelberg.
John Benjamin, not Morty Finkelberg, and the lovely Jessica Walter, who we had in here.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. That was a terrific episode. They were so much fun.
Weren't they fun?
It's Ron Liebman.
And they sang that wonderful Breakfast Club song to us.
Oh, yes,
and guys,
yes.
I should say to our listeners, if you haven't heard the Ron Liebman, Jessica Walter episode, check that one out.
And I got
really
to
great.
Sing Bye Bye Braverman
you
to them.
You did, and they were very taken with your John MacGyver impression. Your impression was so good that they didn't know John MacGyver by name. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And Jess said, do it for us. And you did it. And they said, oh, him.
maybe MacGyver should take us out here. What do you think?
A little John MacGyver to take us
now,
out
now,
of?
Yes. Was John MacGyver in what was that? That one about stealing the diamonds. What was that famous, like, the Thomas Crown Affair? Was he in that?
I don't know if he's in the original. We'll have to look it up.
Look it up. Make yourself useful.
This has been a very stressful episode.
Yeah, yeah, he had to look up two names. And he only got one. And that wasn't the one I was looking for.
You know, Arthur Godfrey treated Julius LaRosa better than this.
Just as long as I don't see the citrus fruit coming out, I'm safe.
Julius, you're a lousy giddy. How are you?
We'll edit this together.
What the hell was the
John
question?
John MacGyver in the Thomas Crown Affair.
Yes.
Yeah, was he in the Thomas Crown Affair?
Windmills of your mind.
Like a circle in a circle, like a wheel within a wheel.
You're going to start
never
bringing up, stop
ending
bringing up
or beginning, like an ever-spinning reel, like a snowball down a mountain, like a carnival balloon. In the windmills of your mind.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When you finally have dementia, how are they going to know?
I heard Johnny Weissmuller.
Oh, no.
Had dementia.
Okay.
And I hope this is true, that he had dementia.
Oh, no.
That he was in a home. It's tragically sad. That's why you have to laugh. And he was screaming his Tarzan yell.
Oh, God.
Yeah, which is too horrible to think
about. I hope that story is apocryphal.
He wound up in the Finks.
Yes, yes, clearly after he was not making sane decisions.
If you told me, and Pat O'Brien.
Yeah, everybody's in the
and
Finks.
And the Bowery
Boys. I blame the Finks on Gino Salamone.
Oh, yeah.
who brought it into my life.
And it's like when they bring out all those old forgotten actors, it's like if you had told me that they found out all of them were just dug out of their graves and propped up, I'd believe it.
Yeah.
That's what they look
that's
like.
That's a scary one.
It's like a monkey's episode.
John MacGyver that I
know. No, but John MacGyver in the Thomas Crown.
Jack Weston, did we?
Jack Weston
was in the Jack Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah.
A MacGyver-like actor.
Yeah.
I should work on a Jack Weston imitation. And you have that list.
Yafet Koto, who's come up how many times so
Yafet
far?
Yafet Koto's in it?
Yeah.
In this episode alone, I think 30.
We're changing the title of this show.
They came up with Yafet Koto.
They said, I think that why they hired him is they said the Thomas Crown Affair is getting too goyish. We need Yafet Koto to chew it up.
All right, we're officially changing the title of this show to the Yafet Koto Wow Show. You want to take us out, Mr. MacGyver?
Yes,
we have a guest waiting.
Yes.
This has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Frank. These episodes are completely off the rails. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, John MacGyver.
Thank you, sir. Everything must be done according to schedule. We will not have any slackers on our staff. Do you hear me?
Ha 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 ha!